How many of you guys know a judgmental person? Don't point. Okay? The topic today, do you hate religion but love Jesus? You're not alone. And the first matchup that we have is judgment versus forgiveness. And so we're going to look at judgment today first. So let's see our judgmental person. I love Google image search. But you know what a judgmental person is. They're like, oh, I can't believe you went and saw that movie. Or if that was my kid, I'd never let my kid do that. Or can you believe how she's dressed? Oh my gosh. What? How'd that go? Yeah, you're not getting it again. We're going to edit that one out of the tape. But many religious people are seen as judgmental. And people see the church as a place where people judge people. And so we're going to look, these next 4 weeks, we're going to look at a couple different traits. And we're going to look, this week, judgment versus forgiveness. Next week, we're going to talk about rules versus relationship. Talking about legalism. Is it more about following rules or more about having a relationship with Jesus? Then on the 12th, we'll talk about self versus others. What is Christianity about? Is it about you or is it about your neighbors? And finally, on the 19th, we'll talk about division and unity. What does God call us as Christians to be? Are we to be divided or are we to be united? And as I was thinking about this top topic, I ran across a YouTube video that I want to show. It's from Jeff Betke, is the best way that I can pronounce his name. And he did a video with the same title as our message series, Do You Hate Religion But Love Jesus?
What if I told you Jesus came to abolish religion? What if I told you voting Republican really wasn't his mission? What if I told you Republican doesn't automatically mean Christian, and just because you call some people blind doesn't automatically give you vision? I mean, if religion is so great, why has it started so many wars? Why does it build huge churches but fails to feed the poor? Tell single moms God doesn't love them if they've ever had a divorce, but in the Old Testament, God actually calls religious people whores. Religion might preach grace, but another thing they practice, tend to ridicule God's people, they did it to John the Baptist. They can't fix their problems, and so they just mask it, not realizing religion's like spraying perfume on a casket. See, the problem with religion is it never gets to the core. It's just behavior modification, like a long list of chores. Like, let's dress up the outside, make it look nice and neat, but it's funny, that's what they used to do to mummies while the corpse rots underneath. Now I ain't judging, I'm just saying, quit putting on a fake look. Because there's a problem if people only know that you're a Christian by your Facebook. I mean, in every other aspect of life, you know that logic's unworthy. It's like saying you play for the Lakers just because you bought a jersey. See, this was me too, but no one seemed to be onto me. Acting like a church kid while addicted to pornography. See, on Sunday I'd go to church, but Saturday getting faded, acting if I was simply created to just have sex and get wasted. See, I spent my whole life building this facade of neatness, but now that I know Jesus, I boast in my weakness. Because if grace is water, then the church should be an ocean. It's not a museum for good people, it's a hospital for the broken. Which means I don't have to hide my failure, I don't have to hide my sin. Because it doesn't depend on me, it depends on Him. See, because when I was God's enemy, and certainly not a fan, He looked down and said, I want that man. Which is why Jesus hated religion, and for it He called them fools. Don't you see so much better than just following some rules? Now let me clarify. I love the church, I love the Bible, and yes, I believe in sin. But if Jesus came to your church, would they actually let Him in? See, remember He was called a glutton and a drunkard by religious men. But the Son of God never supports self-righteousness, not now, not then. Now back to the point, one thing is vital to mention, how Jesus and religion are on opposite spectrums. See, one's the work of God, but one's a man-made invention. See, one is the cure, but the other's the infection. See, because religion says do, Jesus says done. Religion says slave, Jesus says son. Religion puts you in bondage while Jesus sets you free. Religion makes you blind, but Jesus makes you see. And that's why religion and Jesus are two different clans. Religion is man searching for God. Christianity is God searching for man, which is why salvation is freely mine and forgiveness is my own. Not based on my merits, but Jesus' obedience alone. Because he took the crown of thorns and the blood dripped down his face. He took what we all deserve. I guess that's why you call it grace. And while being murdered, he yelled, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." Because when he was dangling on that cross, he was thinking of you. And he absorbed all your sin and he buried it in the tomb, which is why I'm kneeling at the cross saying, "Come on, there's room." So for religion, no, I hate it. In fact, I literally resent it. Because when Jesus said, "It is finished," I believe he meant it.
This video obviously struck a chord with many people. It has 17 million hits, over 17 million hits on YouTube, and it's been on for just 3 weeks. How do you feel watching that clip? Can you relate to some of that? I know I watched it, and at first I was like, religion, really? Do I hate religion? But the way he describes it, yeah, I do. How do people view religious people? We're known as judgmental. Religious people are known as hypocrites. And religious people are known for being out of touch with reality. But these things are not new. These things were happening when Jesus was here on earth. And Jesus was the one calling out the religious people, saying, "You're judgmental hypocrites who are out of touch with reality." I want to read our first scripture passage. This is from the book of Matthew. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at his tax collector's booth. "Follow me and be my disciple," Jesus said to him. So Matthew got up and followed him. Later, Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. But when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with such scum?" I love that translation. Why does he eat with such scum? When Jesus said this, he said, "Healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do." And then he added, "Now go and learn the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. For I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners." Jesus didn't come for those people that think that they're righteous, that think that they're following all the rules in order to get to heaven. He came for those of us who realize we are not righteous. And because we are not righteous, we need a Savior. He continues speaking to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees and Sadducees were like the religious upper class of this time. And all of these people were looking down upon Jesus and his followers. And speaking to the Pharisees, Jesus says, "I tell you the truth. Corrupt tax collectors and prostitutes will get in the kingdom of God before you do. For John the Baptist came and showed you the right way to live, but you didn't believe him, while tax collectors and prostitutes did. And even when you saw this happening, you refused to believe him and repent of your sins." These are the words of Jesus to the religious people of the day, saying, you know what? The people that are going to be in are tax collectors, are sinners, are prostitutes. The leaders are ignorant of the fact that they need Jesus. They believe that as long as they followed the law of Moses, that they would be fine.
But Jesus says, you know what? If you break a law in your mind, you have broken the law. And you are in need of Jesus. But Jesus does not call us as a church or as followers of Him to be judgmental. It is not our place to look around the world and say, sinner, 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 sinner. Instead, Jesus has called us to forgive. He has called us to forgive people and to experience the forgiveness of God. Jesus goes on to say, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. How did Jesus view the religious leaders of the day? He said that they're judgmental, they're hypocrites, and they're out of touch with reality. Jesus continued teaching and talking with the people and telling them about this new way of following God, a new way of following Jesus. Jesus calls us to forgive even in the most dire of circumstances. Now Peter, he had a problem with that. He said, Jesus, how many times am I supposed to forgive someone who sins against me? And he says, 7 times? And Jesus said, no, not 7 times, but 70 times 7 times. Do you have any math nuts in the house? How many times did Jesus say to forgive? 490. Now, I don't think that Jesus meant, you know, get your Excel spreadsheet out and keep track of how many times you forgive. What Jesus is saying is that we are to forgive always and forever. Continue to forgive and forgive and forgive. Jesus told the parable and he said, there was a king and he had accounts with many people and he called his servant in for an accounting. And the servant owed millions of dollars to this man, to the king. And he said, servant, I am calling in my debt. You need to pay right now what you owe, or I'm going to put you in prison until you can pay back what you owe. And the servant bowed down to him and said, please, please have mercy on me. Please do not imprison me for the sake of my children and for the sake of my wife. I will pay back what I owe you. And the king had mercy on him. And the king said, very well, you may go. And in fact, he erased the debt of the servant. But then that very same servant went back to another guy who owed him money. He owed him about $1,000. And he told that other servant, he said, you need to pay me back everything that you owe me right now, or I'm putting you in prison until you can pay it back. Some of the other servants heard about what happened and saw this, and they went to the king and they said, king, this is what happened. You showed him mercy, and yet he went and was ruthless to this man. Well, the king was indignant. He came to the man, grabbed him by the throat, and said, you have shown disrespect. You have shown that you are a judgmental person and you are not full of mercy and love. He said, because you are this wicked, everything that you owed me, you now owe me. And Jesus asked them, which man are you like? Are you like the man who accepts the mercy and then doesn't give it to someone else? Jesus says, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Forgiveness is what Jesus teaches us to do. He says, do not judge others, and you will not be judged, for you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. And why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? Can one blind person lead another? Won't they both fall into a ditch? How can you think of saying to your friend, "Let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye," when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite. First get rid of the log in your own eye, then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. And I found very good images here. I wouldn't want that doctor operating on me. When we judge someone, we take a position of authority over them that is not ours to take. The only judge in this world is God. And when we start going around and judging people, we are putting ourselves in God's position. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't try to help people who are hurting. It doesn't mean that we ignore people who are making bad choices, but rather we come alongside them. We come alongside them as an equal, journeying with them through life. You know, when you're in a bad place, the last thing you need is someone to come along and say, "Screw up. Idiot. Stupid." Yet, sometimes people do that. And they do it in the name of God. Now, a lot of people put pastors on a pedestal. And anything that I can do to get you to not put me on a pedestal, I will do. And if you really want some good examples of why I don't deserve to be on a pedestal, I thought about sharing some, but I thought it would be much more fun for you to go ask my wife. No one is perfect. No one is without sin. And no one is completely above reproach. I bet if we probed your life like they probe some of these presidential candidates, I bet there'd be a thing or two that you wouldn't want brought up. Yet sometimes that's how we play religion. We think that that's what it's all about, is telling people how bad they are or how much they are going to hell and going to be sinners, and they're going to be sinners for the rest of their lives. But Jesus said that there are two great commandments. The first commandment is to love God with your whole heart, with your whole mind, and with your whole soul. The second one is to love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says that the second one is equally as important as the first. You can't love God and hate your neighbor. If you hate your neighbor, you cannot love God. And when Jesus taught this revolutionary concept, one of the men said, "Well, who is my neighbor?" And now if you read that, you might think, well, this guy's a little legalistic. He wants to know how far he can get. You know, what's the limit here? But I think he might have been genuinely wanting to know, how do I follow Jesus? And Jesus answered with a story. And he said, an Israelite, a Jew, was walking down the road, and he was mugged by robbers. They beat him up and they took everything he had and left him for dead along the side of the road. Then a priest came by and saw the beaten man laying there on the side of the road. And his response was to go to the other side of the road and walk right past him. Then a temple worker came and saw the man beaten and bloody on the side of the road. And he also walked around the man and kept on going. But then a Samaritan man came. A Samaritan man who the Israelites and the Samaritans, they didn't get along. He saw the man beaten and bloody, and he stopped and he tended to the wounds of the man. He put him on his camel, on his donkey, and took him to an inn. And he gave the innkeeper money so that he could be taken care of. He said, "Here is the money that I have. If it costs more than this, I will pay you more when I come back through." And Jesus said, "Who is the neighbor to the man who was attacked by the bandits. And the man said, the one who showed him mercy. Jesus said, now go and do the same. As a true follower of Jesus, our job is not to judge. I love the quote in that film that says, if grace is like water, the church should be an ocean. When people are struggling in their sins, when people are down and out, it's not the church's place to say, stay away. You're too much of a sinner to be associated with us. It's not our place to shame someone for their sins. What we are called to do is show grace and forgiveness. And we're not just supposed to talk about grace and forgiveness, because that's pretty easy, right? And we see the religious people, I wouldn't say they're showing grace necessarily, but they talk it. They talk about it. I see some, you know, picketing going on at funerals. We hear speeches about it. Oh, God's grace is great. Unless you've committed this sin, unless you've committed this sin, that sin, and really, if you committed this sin, there's no hope for you. Jesus doesn't give us a list of sins and said, these are the worst ones. These are the ones I didn't pay for. Jesus paid for all of our sins. And I don't know where you are in your life today. I don't know your story. But Jesus does. Jesus knows your story. And Jesus told another story, and he said, there was a man with two sons. And the one son came to the father and said, I want my inheritance now, because I want to get out of this town. It's too small. I want to go see the world and just live it up. And the father said, okay, here's your inheritance. And the son got so excited, he took all of his money and he ran off to Vegas. And he said, this is where it's at. He threw parties for all these new friends that he found. He lived it up. He had the greatest time of his life. But as that money started to go away, all those new friends he thought he had, they disappeared too. Finally, he had nothing left. He had squandered his entire inheritance. Took a job as a servant, and when he saw the slop that he was feeding the pigs, he thought about eating it because he had nothing else to eat. And that's when he realized, you know, even the lowest servant at my father's house gets real food and is treated better than this. So he said, I'm going to go back to my father. I'm going to repent of my sin. He went back toward the house. And the dad saw him coming. And the dad threw down what he was doing and he ran to his son. He said, son, you've come back. And the son said, I'm sorry, Dad. Can I be a servant in your house? And the dad said, no, you have returned to me. You are my son. But what about all the bad things I did, Dad? I mean, I did some really bad things. It's forgiven. You are welcome back into my family because you are my son. Now, when you talk about grace like this, and when Jesus was talking about grace like this, it doesn't make religious people happy. Because religious people like to have their rules, like to have everything set in stone. You do this, you get this. You do that, you do that. It made people so mad at Jesus that many, many times in his ministry, they tried to stone him. They tried to kill him. They even at one point tried to push him off a cliff. They were so mad that someone would be preaching this grace. Now maybe you today can identify with that son, with that lost son that returned. Maybe you understand at a deep, deep level what it means to be rejected, what it means to be laughed at, what it means to be mocked, what it feels like to be ridiculed. maybe in your life some probably well-meaning religious person said, you know what? You're a sinner and you're too far gone. You've got to get yourself together before you come to church. You've got to get all your ducks in a row before you turn to Jesus. Well, I'm here today to tell you that I've got good news for you. The good news is that Jesus was mocked. Jesus was ridiculed. Jesus was laughed at. Jesus was rejected. Jesus was ultimately crucified. And the good news is that Jesus, He knows you. He knows what you've done in your past. He knows what you're doing in the present. And He even knows what you're going to do in the future. And the good news, this good news that we talk about, is that Jesus says, I paid the price for these sins. I paid the price for your sins. Your sins yesterday, your sins today, and your sins tomorrow. And you cannot sin so much that my grace and my love cannot reach you. On the cross, Jesus said, it is finished. Jesus paid the price for your sins. Jesus, the very Son of God, came to earth. He lived a sinless life. He was crucified on the cross so that you can experience the full forgiveness of God's grace. And Jesus paid the price so that we might live. If you're here today and you've never allowed Jesus' forgiveness to wash over your heart, I pray that today would be a new day. If you're ashamed of what you've done, I pray today that you will accept God's offer of grace and forgiveness. I want to give you an opportunity to pray this morning, to ask God to forgive you and to pour out His grace and His unconditional love. Would you bow your heads in prayer with me? If you're here today and you know that you need to return to God, or maybe you need to come to Jesus for the first time, I'd ask that you simply repeat this prayer just to yourself as we pray. Pray this to God if this is your heart today. Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. I know that I have done wrong. I know that the consequence of my sin is eternal separation from you. But God, I accept your grace and forgiveness today. I ask you to enter my life and help me to become more like you. Loving, patient, kind, full of grace and forgiveness. Help me this day take the next steps toward following you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer from your heart of hearts this morning, I want to welcome you on a new adventure. I want you to know that choosing to follow Jesus is the most important decision that you will ever make. One of the things that we do is have an invitation song. And during this song is when we ask people to respond to the way the Holy Spirit has been working in your life. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time today, or if you have maybe turned your life back to Jesus this morning, I'd like to invite you during that invitation song to come forward. I know that's a big step, and I know not everyone's comfortable doing that. And so we're going to have a moment of prayer, and if you don't feel comfortable coming up, I would just ask that when we pray, that you would just raise your hand so that we could pray for you. Let's go ahead and pray now with every eye closed and every head bowed. And if you made a decision today, either accepting Jesus for the first time or returning to Jesus, returning back to your Heavenly Father, would you just raise your hand, please, at this time? Raise your hand if God is working in your life and you're accepting Jesus and you're accepting Jesus' forgiveness. God, I pray for those people that have raised their hands today. I pray that your grace will flow over their lives. I pray that they will find people that are not religious, God, but are really truly followers of Jesus. Help them on this next stage of their journey, Father, as they begin this incredible adventure of being a true follower of Jesus Christ.